Good morning. This is Cyril Stevens in Christmas Valley, wishing you a very, very good morning. I do hope that you are living for Christ and that those things that have caused you pain in your spirit have been conquered by the Holy Spirit and you've allowed him to do that. I want to share some more nuggets of truth on this business of the good news. And I'm still talking about good news, and one of the great things about good news is that we can pray. I've shared with you already some thoughts about prayer, but I would like to say to you today that there are prayers that are sometimes delayed. Now, I'm not going to pretend for one split second that I understand exactly what takes place in the heavenlies. But I do know that in the heavenlies there is a continual warfare going on. Usurper, who is the devil, he tries to wrestle the Christian into some sort of no man's land so that he can become ineffective in his life. We have lots of Christians whose love for the Lord is not doubted, but their ability to count for the Lord seems to be rather stretched, to say the nicest things that one can say. So I want to play with you in the book of Daniel, and I would ask you, if you have a Bible there, to the 9th chapter. Please turn there, and you discover something that is very, very interesting. For instance, the story is at this point that Daniel's been in prayer, and while he was in prayer, a man stood opposite him, and the man was dressed in white linen, and he had a golden girdle or belt around his waist, and he stood there in all the beauty of manhood. He had a voice, and the voice was a tremendous voice. Though Daniel had other friends with him, when they heard the voice, they were terrified, and they ran off and hid. And Daniel was left alone with this man of God. Now, I want to pause just for a moment and say to you, if you're a minister of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, God is wanting to speak with you without your wife present, without your friends present, and without anybody else present. God wants to have a sense of conversation with you. We have fallen into a sort of line of thinking that is totally contrary to the Word of God. Unless we have witnesses to our thinking, we shouldn't think these things. That's one of the things that seems to crop up. And then we think it's rather spooky or odd or holy rollerish to say that God spoke to me. But God does speak to us, and he speaks through his word. When you read the word of God, God is speaking to you. When you are lifting your heart up in prayer, you are speaking to God, and there is a difference. And we need, as men of God, to take ourselves aside every once in a while and inquire of the Lord what we should do, how we should go about doing it, and so on and on. I don't know exactly what your relationship is with the Lord Jesus, but obviously you have some relationship. If you want to extend that relationship, expect to speak with God and to speak directly and to be spoken to by God in a most direct fashion. For instance, the man that hates his wife, or to use a better word that crops up in a different translation, a man that is embittered toward his wife. Now, what makes us embittered? Maybe it's frustration, maybe it's disappointment or disillusionment. It can be a thousand things that created this attitude within your heart. But if there is embitterment towards your wife, don't expect your prayers to be answered. But first go to your wife and seek the forgiveness of the woman and have a relationship that the Bible says, husbands, love your wives. Wives have a very different psyche, if you haven't discovered this, you're lacking, but their psyche is quite different to a male's. And it's very amazing to me that women stand by us, but we don't often stand by our women. And so we have an embitterment build up inside us, and Satan is very, very quick to stoke that fire and make it happen. And once it's happened, to get the flame really hot so that we become estranged to the one person that God has given to us as a helpmeet, a person to help us and to guide us and to protect us and to lead us and sometimes do all the dog's body work for us. We don't appreciate what they do, and they work behind the scenes. I've often said that if I were to play my life back again, there would be one tremendous difference. I would not get married. Now, that's an exaggerated statement, but the basis of it is this. Paul says, I wish you were as I am, without a wife, he is talking. And he says, I want you to understand that there is no impedimenta in my life. If I have a wife, she has demands that she can make on me. If I have no wife, those demands are not made, and I have the time and the energy and all the other bits and pieces to spend my time with the Lord. Now, lots of women don't like this because they want to be part of the ministry. But many of them that want to be part of the ministry were never called to the ministry. They were called to being married to a minister. And it makes a lot of difference to understand that, and I can't go into that much deeper because there are things I don't want to say here that I would say maybe privately. But anyway, let's look at this. A man is embittered toward his wife. Don't expect your prayers to be answered. Expect your prayers to be hindered. Now, it may be that you have got something up your sleeve, that you've been a mischievous person and been doing things behind the scenes and pretending that you were somebody that you weren't. So there is a danger that you have broken your marriage vows one way or another. And because of that, there is a blockage in the prayer line that you may otherwise have had with the Lord God Almighty. We get into Colossians and discover how the speaking of the Apostle Paul, as he writes this wonderful little letter, in 2nd chapter and verse 1, I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf, and for those who are at Laodicea, and for all those who have not personally seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Start thinking about this. Start letting it process through your mind and heart. Well, back into Daniel. In this 9th chapter of Daniel, here is Daniel faced with this remarkable-looking man and talking with him. He is so overwhelmed by the presence of the man that he falls onto the ground as a person that might possibly be dead. His face is into the earth, that's what the Bible says, and he is almost suffocated by the presence of this man of God. Well, it turns out that the man of God that he is speaking with is none other than an angel, and the angel is Gabriel. And Gabriel is talking to him. And he says, man, get up. He takes him by the shoulder and helps him to his legs, and his legs are wobbly. He feels rather unwell. In fact, he says he was sick of body and sort of paralyzed, didn't know what to do with his body. But now the angel is talking with him and telling him what things are going to happen. And I'm going to abbreviate all of this by saying, then Gabriel left, and Daniel was stunned. He had talked to the angel of God. The angel had told him terrifying things that were going to happen to Israel and Jerusalem. The people of his own lineage were going to suffer greatly. Well, some days went by, and more days went by, and nothing happened. Nothing. Now, here we see a likeness, at least I think we see a likeness, into the inner heart of a lot of people. God has promised to do something, and yet it's not done. Why? Well, 21 days later, Gabriel turns up again and has a commentary to speak, and he speaks again with Daniel. And he said, Daniel, we've been delayed in bringing you the good news that God had for you, the strength and the power and the vision that God had given to you did not arrive, and there was a reason. In the heavenlies there was one, the king of Persia, and he withstood us, and we could not break through. Now, my mind boggles at the very thought of this, because I can't imagine heaven having a warfare that is a continual thing that's going on, Satan wanting to become the same as God. Doesn't he realize he's defeated? Doesn't he understand that he has been overwhelmed by the presence of the Lord Jesus? And the answer is no. This wickedness that we call satanic power, or Satan himself, for he is a person, Satan is always working to seem as if he's God. He wants to be like God, says the Bible. And so he pushes and he shoves and he disappoints and he frustrates and he thwarts, and he does everything he can in this world to make this world a total mess, which he's been very successful in doing. God has sent his angels to stop him and to shove him into a corner and all that sort of thing. For instance, God said to the angels of heaven, the angels that serve God, the created ones that God has made for this specific purpose, he said to them that they were to go to the river Tigris and follow it into the Nile, and when they got to the delta of the Nile, to stand there and stop the evil spirits that were on the eastern side and not allow them into the western side. Now, this sort of blows your mind if you think about it. And how many years can we calculate? It's an incalculable amount of years. But God has kept Satan sealed off in the east. But there comes a time when God says to those same angels, move out of the way, release this unholy spirit, unholy, and let him do his work. If you think about what is happening with ISIS and the things that are going on politically in this world, the weakness that is coming out of America and the strength that is building up in China, Iran, and Russia, you see that the powers of the East and the North are gathering momentum, and we in the West are losing our momentum. We have had great empires, and there aren't any left. The British Empire is perhaps the last that we shall ever see historically, and that's on its last legs anyway. And I'm an Englishman, and I'm a bit of a royalist, really, and would have a lot of difficulty not protecting the Queen of England and fighting on her side. But the point I want to make is that it would appear that God has taken the angels out of the way and released this unholy spirit, which we call Moslem, and we see the work of these terrible things that are going on. The savagery of the wickedness is being revealed, and it's beginning to crawl all over the rest of the West. Now, I must confess that 20 years ago, maybe 10, I still could not see how this prophecy was going to be fulfilled. How would God, why would God lift the shadow of the angels and release this unholy spirit? Yet we are seeing its release on a daily basis almost, and we are seeing some dreadful things happen within the world at large. Consider it. Don't take my word for it. Read Revelation, read Daniel, and read the minor prophets, which don't often get read. And don't forget Isaiah and Ezekiel. But read the word of God, in other words, and see what God is saying about our generation. He is saying a lot. So why were these prayers hindered? Well, the power and might of the King of Persia, as it's called, which is Satan, as it's revealed in the scriptures, the power is very great. And he withstood Gabriel, and Gabriel could not get through. And Gabriel eventually had to call on Michael. If you read on in the 10th chapter of Daniel, you can read this, and into the 11th, the last chapter of this little prophecy, how it is that God very simply allowed Michael to join forces with Gabriel, and they broke out, and Gabriel was then free to come to earth and say to Daniel, it's going to happen. Now, I believe that God has said in many ways, as we read his word, it's going to happen. I believe some of these things are happening. We are not just in the last days. We are in the last days and the days before Jesus comes. But first there must be a mountain of wickedness released, and that wickedness is proven in lawlessness. Now, here is something that we have turned our back on as a country. We have pretended it doesn't exist, but there is lawlessness in our land. It starts all the way through our political system and works its way out through the populace of this country, and there is lawlessness. That is, there are no laws keeping our people back. They have rejected the laws of God, and for the most part, the schools are teaching that there is no God, but there is an influence, and so it goes on and on and on. Ad nauseam of the wickedness of man is taking over, and lawlessness is being shoved to one side. Prayers are hindered, and there is a reason. Man has accepted the lawlessness of man. We have accepted all sorts of various teachings and various ologies, if you want, to excite our minds and keep us occupied with anything and everything but the things of God. Well, now we get into this and we realize that God is still on his throne. God has a plan, and he's going to make that plan work. The Lord Jesus came 2,000 years ago or thereabouts The Lord Jesus was suffering for our sin. He was whipped, he was cut, he was buffeted by being punched and slapped and beaten with a lash. Jesus suffered horribly, and then he was crucified, and in a few hours was dead physically. Jesus was buried in a tomb, and all was doom and gloom, and terrible things were going through the mind of the disciples. They were so upset, they were so disappointed, they were so frustrated. They had seen miracles. They had seen things happen. In my little lifetime, I have seen revivals, true revival, not just having a preacher come and calling that a revival, but the revival of things happening in the world that there's no accounting for it, but that God and His Holy Spirit were at work in the mind and heart of men and women, and they came to a new knowledge of God and a new knowledge of the Holy Spirit's power. Things changed in those communities. Things altered in the Welsh Revival in 1902 through 1904. They almost did away with the police force. Imagine that. In these calamitous days where we criticize the police for doing all sorts of dreadful things. But imagine, just over 100 years ago, it wasn't necessary to have police because people were right with God. Now, that isn't my fanciness of putting words together. That is a historical fact. And you can go to Cardiff in South Wales and read for it yourself. If you go to the libraries, you can read what took place in those valleys. People were changed. Of course, Satan wouldn't leave it alone. And very soon after that, the unions got together and they pounded and pounded and did their thing politically and spoiled the whole thing that God had done. Those things happen all the time. I have seen the work of the Holy Spirit in South Wales. I've seen it in parts of London and places like that. I've seen the power of God released. Now, I can't say that I understood all of it. I can't say that I could take it all in. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, a very dear friend, said to me one day, "This is the phenomena of God." And he agreed that this was the work of the Holy Spirit, and it was a phenomenon. And you could not give it a name except "there is revival." Well, Gabriel came, and the Jews suffered. Israel suffered. The terrible things that took place around and in Jerusalem were just awful, exactly as God said it would happen. And we need to get our history books and read what happened. Recently, there's been a tremendous thrust on television about what happened to the Jewish people throughout Europe during the Second World War. And that's nothing compared with what is going to happen. And what is going to happen should chill our souls. So it is, ladies and gentlemen, your prayers may be hindered, but somewhere in the heavenlies, there are angels scrapping and fighting for supremacy. Satan wants to be like God. He cannot be. There is one God and Father of all. There is the Creator of the ends of the earth. He is God Almighty. He is the God, and He will have His way. We are His creation to do as He pleases with, and Satan will be thrust into a hole that is so hot that he'll want to get out of it, and he'll come out for a short space of time, but he will be thrust for eternity in the fire of hell. Now, I'm quite sure that's strange stuff to be talking about for some of you. So let me lighten the load. Repent. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved. Saved from what? These calamities that are going to take place. These dreadful things that are going to break loose. These terrifying things that are going to happen. And they will happen because the Bible says so. And I don't care who the teacher is who teaches you that you don't have to believe the Bible. That person is telling you an untruth, and I am telling you the truth. I don't understand it all, but I know it's true because the Bible says it's true. And the Word of God cannot be wrong. So believe this Lord Jesus Christ, whom God hath sent into this world to save us. Believe his resurrection, for he lives forever with his saints to reign. And Jesus is alive today through resurrection. Believe it. It is God's word. We must stop here. So let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we ask that you will divert our thinking and cause us to think on these things that are holy, these things that will draw us closer to you, these things that will show the love of God, that it's greater far than any tongue or pen can tell. Oh Lord, let the love of Jesus be seen in us. Let the beauty of his holiness be recognized by many. Let there be repentance so that these calamities will not destroy. Lord, we look forward to seeing you face to face, but we are frightened in some ways. So will you bless us now, and will you allow the good news to filter into our souls for Jesus' sake and his alone. Amen. I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank you for encouraging us with notes and gifts and kindnesses. I want to thank you for being concerned. God bless you. If you love him, and if you don't, learn to love him, that the blessing of God may shower and saturate your experience. Bye-bye.